This is tape number two, side number one, of the interview with Karina Lucas taking place on July 25th, 1994, at her home at 260 Prospect Street in Ishpeming. My name is Mary Andes. What I'd like to talk about now is during the 50s, when the kids were growing up, they were at various stages in school. Can you describe for me what a typical day would be like?
Bill was mainly on day shift, right? And I would always get up in the morning, and this was early, about 5 o'clock, probably, or sometimes before that even. We had a wood stove. I had to put a fire in that wood stove. We usually had kindling. Kindling was brought in the night before. I would build a fire and put the water on for coffee, and start preparing the lunchbox every morning. I would pair, he would have coffee in a thermos bottle, and I would make lunch, sandwiches of some sort. There was always lunch meat or egg salad, and he always had his fruit, and he had cake. There was always a sweet of some kind. Bill always had breakfast of some sort in the morning. I can't always remember what, but I know I had oatmeal, and at times, sometimes it was eggs. And he always had, this was, I would do this all the time, every morning, and get him off to work, and then the day would start with the children getting up. I can't remember what, they would always get up later, and I would, of course, do the work, do the housework, wash the clothes washing, wringer washer at that time, heat the water. We did not have running hot water, so I would heat the water in a copper boiler on top of a two-burner stove, I believe, of some sort. I can't remember what kind of a stove, really. But heat the water and then pour it into the washing machine and wash the clothes. It seems strange now to say that we washed all the clothes always with one washer load of hot water. Fell's not the soap. I think there was soap flakes at that time, if I remember correctly. Oxidol was one, if I remember. I would bleach clothes at times if they were needed. Wash the clothes. There was always two tubs of water and a stand for these, a wringer stand that had a section on each side for a tub. And then the wringers, the washing machine wringer would go over, change positions over the two tubs, and always hanging the clothes outside in the summertime, and in the wintertime hanging the clothes inside. And especially when there were baby diapers, there were clothes everywhere hanging. I remember clothes hanging in the kitchen, in the living room, and every other place to get them dry. The basement wasn't that large. There was one area of the basement had wood in it. I believe we did have an oil stove though down.
We had a wood stove down the basement.
Wood stove.
We used for heating water.
We had wood stove for heating water. Yes, and then we had another stove down there for heat, providing heat for the house. And this is the day was. I take care of the kids during the day. I could walk to the local grocery store. There was a small grocery store in the location, and I would get our groceries from this store. I believe we were able to put groceries on credit. I think everybody had their groceries on credit. And then slowly, as things improved, we would start going downtown, began to get our groceries from downtown, and to find the store closed up, and I was able to drive. I took driver training, and then I was able to drive, much to the delight of Bill, my husband, and he didn't have to drive me anymore. And then I would go do my grocery shopping in town.
How old were you when you learned how to drive?
How old was I when I learned how to drive? I must have been...
When you went over that ditch that time at the farm?
No, no, no. This is, I must have been about 30, between 30 and 35, I think, and I had, I always remember I had Mr. Ikola. Mr. Ikola was a high school instructor, and he was my driving, our driving instructor, and there was four women, and we learned to drive with Mr. Ikola, a very, very good instructor.
I want to back up a little bit and talk about laundry. Was there, aside from the time when there were babies and diapers, was there a regular day of the week for laundry?
I used to wash do clothes a few times a week. There was one probably at the beginning of the week. Clothes were done on Monday. And I think it was just a custom from way back. It was just clothes were done on Monday. And then I would usually, baby diapers, I would wash again as needed during the week, just heat up enough water just to wash diapers again. And there was always a problem, of course, with Bill's mine clothes. Once a week, I would wash the mine clothes, always last of all, and then I would have to wash the washing machine. And when we were through with that. So I think it was once a week that mine clothes were done.
Why did you have to wash the washing machine after mine clothes?
Because we washed the washing machine, because the washer, of course, was red with the iron ore.
It was like paint.
Believe me, it was like grease. It was greasy. The water would become greasy. And that would stick all over the washer. And I'd have to take warm, soapy water and wash all over and to get the grease off in order not to prevent the other clothes from getting dirt, getting the grease, the ore on them. Mine clothes. Bill had two sets, probably. We may have
three
had
sets.
Three sets. And he had... the underwear, of course, and he had a shirt, he had pants, then heavy socks. Then he had nips to put on top the socks. Mm-hmm. That's a little slipper-like sock to pull over the wool socks to go inside the boots. He also had a hat, a little cotton cap that I would make to wear inside of his helmet. And these were just a little round circle, probably 6 inches in diameter. Then another piece of cloth about 4 inches wide and about the width around to go around his head. I would measure the piece of cloth around his head, right around his above his ears, and then sew them together. And this was an extra little cap that he wore under his helmet.
Like a skull cap?
Like a skull, yeah, and it was called a skull cap. The little socks were called nips, and the little the cap under his helmet was called a skull cap.
Yeah.
Right.
Laundry. Did you have to do the laundry in a specific order from start to finish?
We always did the laundry starting with the white clothes first. If I had a child, a baby, the baby clothes were always done first. They always did those first and then started with the rest of the clothes. Always the white clothes, the linens, and anything that was white, then going on slowly back, slowly on to the darkest colors last of all.
Were there other days of the week that were kind of used for specific things? Was there a grocery shopping day? Was there an ironing day? And I want to hear about ironing too. Tell me about how much ironing you had to do and how did that all work. But was there a regular day of the week for every different type of chore usually?
I can't remember. It's ironing. We had, I know we had the iron, the old time iron first that were heated on top of the stove, the wood stove, and then we had a gasoline iron. And I can't remember any specific days really for any chores outside of the washing seemed to be one of the most important things during the week, especially when I had children. I remember washing, getting the diapers, putting the diapers to soak, and then getting them washed, and doing them more than once a week, using the washer twice perhaps during the week to get those done.
How about grocery shopping? Can you tell me kind of the typical kinds of things you'd buy, and what did it cost you for a week or 2 weeks or so?
With the neighborhood grocery, I could go and buy a few things that they were needed every day. But when we used to go, when they started to go downtown, I would try and buy groceries for as long a period as possible, and buy. We used to have the milk delivered, though. I remember that. We always had the milk delivered, so we didn't have to worry about that. But we would buy meat. And another thing, I did not have a refrigerator until the 1950s, sometime in the 1950s. So I had to. That's why that neighborhood grocery store was important, so I could go every day for the meat, especially for the things that would perish on this until we had the refrigerator. So almost every day I would, or at least every other day, would walk down to the neighborhood grocery and buy from there.
Milk delivery. Tell me a little bit about milk delivery.
Milk delivery was early in the morning, and it was, I remember the bottles, they were always glass bottles. And I remember in the beginning there were a quart, and then there were half a gallon, the bigger bottles. And we washed them and put them out, and then the back door would be open, and you could hear the milkman come in and bring the bottles in, and leave them and take the others with him. I think there were other things. We could get cream or buttermilk or whatever else we wanted with that. And I have no memory as to when cartons came, where paper cartons came, but I know that probably was not till a great deal later, probably in the late 1960s or probably late 1960s, I think the paper cartons finally came.
Do you have any idea what it would cost to have milk delivered for a week? Do you have any recollection of how much maybe a half gallon of milk was delivered at the house?
I cannot remember at all. But we would spend, I remember if I spent $30 for 2 weeks of groceries, that was considered a lot.
What would a typical evening meal consist of usually?
All the meals in the evenings were always meat and potatoes, and there was a vegetable. But always, I think every working man wanted the meat, and they wanted the potato. And slowly, there were changes in food. In fact, I think when we were first married, even canned foods were frowned upon a little bit. And then slowly, things like salads starting to appear, and but always, and there was dessert. Every day there was dessert, always. So it was baking desserts. There was, I remember, rice puddings and pies and good grief. And all that, there was a lot of baking, much more baking, of course, than there is today.
And venison.
Oh, yes. Occasionally there was venison also. Always during hunting times, it was always venison. And there was, I even remember some illegal villas venison being served. And very, very hush-hush, very, very quiet.
Okay, before we get Uncle Bill in any more trouble here, what about while we're on the subject of food, a special occasion meal like Christmas dinner, Easter dinner, what would that typically be? What would that consist of?
Holiday meals are, I think, very much the same as they are today. I think we had turkey or chicken, a big chicken. I remember having a large roasting chicken more than a turkey. And I think we had hams. So there was probably more things served with the Christmas dinner or the Thanksgiving dinner. I think the meals were very much as they are today, except today, of course, we have more salads, more vegetables, and of course the meals are changing. We do not have, we had the potatoes and we're now, it would be more vegetables, more salads than we had then.
With holiday meals, were there traditional special desserts or any of that kind of thing that were only made for Christmas? Any special finish dishes or anything like that?
I remember preparing lutefisk, yeah. For which I believe at that time had to be soaked. If I remember correctly.
I remember soaked. We didn't do it many times, though.
Yes, but we used to prepare that and prepare a meat sauce, a white sauce for that, and serve it that way. But as far as there used to be probably, I can't remember cooking any special desserts, really. Outside apple pie, perhaps, which was Bill's favorite pie. And he's still one of his favorite pies. But I remember I didn't start making fruitcake, for instance, until much later. I can't remember beyond anything else.
Okay. There was another unique resource in your family in terms of food and helping to make ends meet with your parents' farm. Can you tell me about that a little bit and how that helped with stretching the grocery budget a little bit? And this is when your kids were growing up.
Mm-hmm. A big help for us was getting potatoes, vegetables, turnips, and I think cabbages, probably eggs also from the farm, from my parents' farm, especially when the children were little. Of course, we would frequently be out there helping, helping mother and father, perhaps during in the summertime when the haymaking was on. In the fall, digging up potatoes, bringing in the turnips, and getting everything else, whatever else they had. And then remember taking things, bringing things home, having my parents offer us and bringing things home, like potatoes and whatever else they had from there. And that, of course, was always a big help.
Those times when the haying was being done and the potatoes were being harvested, was that like a big extended family get-together? Can you describe one of those days to me a little bit?
Many times then we would go up to my parents' home. That would be a family get-together. Perhaps it would be cutting wood, which always everyone would be there in the fall, and we would, the saw rig there was a saw rig for cutting wood, and the men would cut wood. Women, I think, help pile the wood in piles, and some of us helped. Mother would be inside cooking, and I think my mother enjoyed these more than anything else, having us all be out there together, and she would always prepare food for all of us, and sometimes we would help her with the food also. But we would be there when the potatoes needed to be picked, and we would all be there as we could be. We weren't always all there together, but the haymaking time we would be there. And Father had a strawberry field too in the 1960s probably. And we used to be there picking strawberries and strawberries. He would sell these strawberries, of course, downtown. Mm-hmm. So, and these were fun. I think we're even getting together and putting the storm windows on the house. I remember many times putting the storm, the men would put the ladders out and bring the storm windows up and put them on. And that was always a lot of fun. Always enjoyable. And the children then would enjoy this too. I think they would play together, and it was enjoyable. These were enjoyable periods, I think, for all of us.
Extended family, I want to continue with just a little bit longer, because the your gatherings of all of the siblings and spouses and grandchildren didn't just happen for haymaking and harvesting. Was there weekly, tell me about the Saturday sauna routine.
Oh, always. Mother, I think, for my mother especially, and, well, father too, of course, he wanted us to come over on Saturdays to have, to visit and to go sauna. And I think we always did. And it became a routine that we would, this is one thing that we wanted to do. Except that finally, the day came when family doctor told me not to go, because every time I went to the sauna, the following day I would have a headache, you know, very, very serious headache, and he told me finally to stop it. Apparently, the heat of the sauna caused a headache. And so I stopped going to the sauna, which I remember made my mother very unhappy. She could not understand why I could not. I think she felt that I would never be clean again if I didn't go sauna. So I always remember how upset she was about that. But we enjoyed going to the sauna. We enjoyed going there for coffee and talking and having a good time. We used to have fun.
Okay, let's take another leap back away from extended family and talk about the kids and school. Where did they go to elementary school and high school, and how did they get there? How close was
it? We had a school when the children were started school, that we had a school in the location, the West Ishmi School, and all the children attended this school, and then until I believe they also went to the North Lake School in the older grades, but then the high school was the Ishpeming High School, and I don't think any of them were bused to the National Mine School at that time like they are now. No, they were just West Ishpeming School, North Lake School, and the Ishpeming High School.
Did all of your children graduate from high school, and did any of them continue with education after that?
Paul, of course, did not. Pat graduated from high school and went on to take 1 year and became an LPN. Paul, of course, never finished high school. Paul was mentally ill. And he did not go on to school. Carolyn finished high school, and she did attend school, and she took, probably a secretarial course or bookkeeping class. And Eric, of course, came on much later, of course, and he then attended college and got his degree.
All right, we're going to backtrack a little bit again to the time the kids were growing up. We talked about where you shopped for groceries, but what about other things, clothing and shoes and things like that? During the 50s, how readily accessible were things like that? Did you shop from catalogs? Did you shop in Ishpeming and Marquette? How did that work?
Shopping, getting clothes for the children. We had catalogs, of course, the Montgomery. I had both the Montgomery and Sears catalogs, and I sent away for a great for not shoes, never shoes, but always other clothes. And we had a wonderful penny store in town in the city of Ishpeming, which was, I think, everybody's the place where everybody went to get clothes. We also, there were other stores in Ishpeming. Davinsky's, I believe, was in Ishpeming, and I would get perhaps once in a while, not too often. Davinsky was probably a more expensive store. And I would get some other, occasionally get clothes from there. And this, I cannot remember never going beyond Ishpeming to get clothes. This was, Ishpeming was the furthest we went.
And what about household goods like dishes, pots and pans, curtains, fabrics? Where would you get things like that?
Again, Penny's in Ishpeming was the place to get household goods, the sheets, blankets, and of course the catalog, again, both Sears and Montgomery's. I also remember we had a Montgomery Ward store in Marquette, and I would occasionally go to the Montgomery Ward store in Marquette and get some things from there.
While the kids were growing up, say again during the 50s, what kinds of things would constitute a really special treat as a break from the weekly routine? Did you take them like for a root beer or any of that kind of stuff? What kind of thing would be a special treat for them that you can think of?
Once in a while, I would take the children to the movies. When the children's movies began to come out, we took the children to the movies. I also remember there was a series on nature series at the Ishpeming High School, and I remember taking the children to see these nature. We used to go and see these nature series at the high school, and these were interesting. These were really, really interesting for them, and I think for us too. But I think all the children saw all of the movies that came out at that time. I cannot remember when the Walt Disney movies started coming out, but they saw these, and we would bring them to town, I think, occasionally on Saturdays to see movies. And I also brought the kids to the library. I wanted them to know the library. And I remember taking them down to the library. This wasn't too often, though, but I did do this once in a while.
Do you consider yourself to be a do-it-yourselfer, and if so, in what ways?
Am I a do-it-yourselfer?
Do you sew? Do you do crafting?
Oh, we used to sew. We sewed. I sewed a great deal for the children, their pajamas, especially pajamas, some of their school clothes, and I remember. In fact, a lot of their school clothes. In fact, some of their coats even, and knitting. I remember knitting mittens, and I can't, but a lot of things I did made at home.
What about?
We purchased the fabrics, of course, at Penny's, and occasionally I would send away for fabric.
What about haircuts, home permanents, any of that kind of thing?
I think haircuts. I cut the children's hair. I think Pat had her hair in braids, if I remember correctly. And if they needed to be, they would never go into town to have their hair done. I think we would put it up in curlers or put it up into something to get it curly. And otherwise, I think they had haircuts too. I would give the haircuts.
Stop.
Okay.
This is tape number two, side number two
of the interview with Karina Lucas taking place on July 25th, 1994 at her home at 260 Prospect Street in Ishpeming. And my name is Mary Tippett Andes. I think I neglected to mention anywhere else on any of these tapes that Karina Lucas is also my aunt. All right. We talked about a little bit earlier about religious life while you were growing up. How important was that when your kids were growing up? How important is it as you continue now in your life?
Religion was very important in my home when I was small, especially as far as my mother was concerned. Religion played a very important part in her life. She believed in God very, very firmly, very firm belief in God and in Jesus Christ. And everything about her life seemed to be based on her belief in God. She was how should I say? She so many things were a sin. She was always. She wanted us to be very good. She wanted us to grow up to be good people. And this was her way of saying that this is a sinful thing to do and that is a sinful thing to do. She didn't want us to do it as women, as girls. She wanted us to grow up to be very proper women. There are certain things that women did not do. Thank you. Women behaved properly. They did not run around. What my mother wanted for all of us was to get married and marry someone and to have children. And this was what she had been brought up to believe, and I think this is what she wanted us to believe. But religion was so important for her. And after father's death, even she said for her, she wanted to also die, and she wanted also to go to heaven to see my father again, to see the two little girls. Religion was very, very important for her. For myself, we all went to Sunday school, and of course we were confirmed in our church, in the Bethel Lutheran Church. An important part of my life when we were growing up were in the summer times we would have church services at the farm, and people would come in as this was when the roads were better and people had cars. I believe it didn't start until the people had cars, and there would always be a large group of people at the house on one certain Sunday in the summer. Mother would bake and there would be coffee, and this was very important to my mother to have church services at least once during the summer at the farm. We were confirmed, of course. We went to Sunday school, which was held at the different homes where we lived. Then we went confirmed in the church. And for myself, after we were married, we attended church. And the children belonged to Sunday school. Our children went to Sunday school in the same church, and they were confirmed. But religion, now I do not attend church as frequently as I should, and I am at times a skeptic about a great many things and about religion now, and I question more. My poor mother would really turn over in her grave if she knew how questioning I am about a great many things concerning religion. But I do not believe as my mother did. I do not have the firm belief that my mother had. I don't think.
Do you remember on those
summer church services at the farm, was there ever any mention of Johannes or John the Baptist Day in connection with those services?
I heard a great deal about Johannes, about Midsummer's Day. It was this had been, of course, a big tradition in Finland, and it was a tradition in many areas of Upper Michigan. Many people would have a special, there would be a special, it was a special holiday, June 24th, I believe, and it was a time of bonfires. Many people had bonfires, and I believe there were also special church services during that period, special Finnish celebrations during that time, and there still are to this day. But I cannot remember, we may have attended, but I can't remember. I cannot remember if any.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Christmas. During the time that the kids were growing up, can you describe a typical Christmas for me?
We had, we would always have a tree, of course. And it was always decorated with the trimmings. I remember we had some that lasted for many, many years. We always received one gift, at least one gift. And I remember one, especially receiving a doll. I think all the girls received at least one doll that they remember. I remember one, this beautiful little girl doll. And I remember opening the package and looking at it. And I still remember that to this day. But I could have no memory as to what happened to that doll. We also had school programs at the little local school that was about 2 miles, 2.5 miles away. And about a week before Christmas, there was always a school play. And people would, all the neighbors would attend. And we always had parts, poems. We used to sing songs. And I always remember as a child going outside the school, standing on the school steps and trying to hear, see if I can hear Santa's sleigh bells on a clear, clear, cold night. This was before cars, so we would go with horses and sleighs, and there would be a pile of hay in the back to keep us warm, or blankets, whatever, because sometimes the nights were cold. And this is the way we went to see a play. And the teachers did all the work, of course, and we'd have a little stage with white sheets. And this was a lot of work for the teachers to put on a play like this. And those times were always fun, a lot of fun.
Can you describe the sleigh? Was it more like a working type sleigh, or was it fancier, like a cutter?
The sleighs that we used in those days were a working type sleigh. There was four runners, two in the front and two in the back, and of course there was a team of horses pulling it. There was a seat thing in the front of it, and in the box, and there was a box in the back, and we would usually be in the box on hay and the blankets on top of us.
Were there ever bells on the horses?
Yes, there were. There were frequently bells on. I remember the bells on the horses, and I remember the harness having bells on them.
What about Christmas while your own kids were small? What would typical Christmas be like after you were married? Maybe like during the mid-50s when the kids were when they believed in Santa Claus. What kinds of things would they ask for? What were there any things that you would have to do to provide extra money for Christmas, or was it ever a problem providing things?
When the children were growing up, Christmas, we always had a Christmas tree, of course, and we used to, if I remember, there was the Christmas catalogs. Did that? I remember they were already. The Sears and Montgomery Wards, and there was one other, I remember, was it Spiegel's or whatever, but there was always two of them, and these would come early in the fall, and they were, of course, very popular, popular things for the kids to look at. We always tried to have toys for the kids. We would try and give them some of the things that they wanted. And they would have books and maybe coloring material or coloring books. And the girls would have dolls. And I remember there were some things that we had to put together, but I can't remember exactly what they were. But just staying up late and putting those things together. So they had some other things that they wanted, but they couldn't have everything. But of course, with our catalog, there would be something from every page. But they would have some toys and some clothes too, I believe. But I remember the girls always had dolls, and the boys, of course, had their trucks. Paul had his trucks. And Eric, of course, since he came so much later, that we were bringing him up, the toys, of course, were very different then.
Did they have stockings? And if so, were they the same stockings every year? And what kinds of things would go into stockings?
The kids had stockings, but they were different. They were not specially made stockings just for that. They were probably Bill's work socks. And they were, I can't remember where we would put those up. We had them hung somewhere. And I would put things in them, little things, whatever. Until Eric, of course, had his own sock. And in fact, he still has that little stocking that he came home from Market General North with. He was put into a, since he was born just before Christmas, he was put into a big red stocking, and that's the way we brought him home. He still has that.
If Uncle Bill worked shift work during Christmas, what impact did that have on Christmas?
I can't remember. I know that during Christmas sometimes, I cannot remember it making that much of a difference. We just had to change things around and try and make do, because it was important for him to go to work. That was the most important thing there was, working. And we would just change the Christmas dinner around, and the children would open their gifts as always. And we had to work around his working.
How about a typical birthday party when the kids were growing up? What would a typical birthday party be like? Who would be invited? How many kids would there be? Were there any games that you can remember, birthday party games or anything like that?
I remember birthday parties. All the children, we used to have birthday parties, and the relatives would all get together. They'd be all invited, and we would invite some of the neighbor children, I remember, from down the street, and some of them. This included, of course, their cousins from both sides of the family that were around. And there would be a birthday cake, and there would be ice cream, I believe, and pop. And I cannot remember, there were games, but I can't remember exactly what kind of games we played. I can't, but they were always, I remember we always had, they were always good events. The birthday parties were always special.
Were there any favorite kinds of cake that were requested for birthdays, or did it not matter?
I don't think it mattered as far as just a birthday cake, I can't remember ever having it was just a birthday cake. Having a birthday cake was, there was never, at least I can't remember any special cake.
And then when the kids were growing up, what would you do during the time that Bill had time off from work, vacation time? What would you do for family vacation?
We occasionally when we had a car, had a better car, we would take trips around the Upper Michigan more than anything else. And maybe not, we would go to a fair once in a while, and we would perhaps take a ride up to as far as Copper Country, perhaps to Fort Wilkins. I remember we drove once up there. And usually we went to the camp, though. We would go there for vacation during vacation time and stay there during that period, during his vacation.
I want to ask you a question about camp. Tell me about the summer kitchen.
We at the camp, there were two separate buildings. There was the main camp, which had a kitchen, but we also had a separate camp, a separate building called the summer kitchen, which a great many Finnish homes had in Finland, had a separate building to do the cooking, especially in the warm summertime, and do the canning perhaps. And so we had a small summer kitchen. We had a table in there with benches on both sides, a small stove, and we would use that in the summertime to make coffee and make the meals and to keep the main camp cool, especially during the warmer weather.
What kinds of stoves did you have in the camp and the summer kitchen?
We had the wood stoves in both the in both buildings, both camps.
What about your hobbies, your personal interests? What do you like to do for fun, with leisure time, whatever? Reading, any hobby things that you like to do? Anything like that?
I like to read, and I used to get the books from the library, and I used to sew, and I can't remember having any specific hobbies beyond that, just that. But I think we were just too busy raising, you know, taking care of working with the family, and just since we didn't have all the electrical appliances we have today, sometimes it took, like washing clothes, for instance, took a long time, and it took a little longer to do all the household chores than it does now.
How about now? You mentioned that you like to read a lot. What kinds of things do you like to read, and are there things that you do differently now with leisure time than you did when your kids were growing up?
Do I do things differently? I still like to read, and I like to read mysteries, and I like certain biographies, and I like to read books that are good, that are good books. I like to go shopping, and I always say that when I die, I will be cremated, and my ashes will be sprinkled over the biggest small there is. And we do not. I watch television, of course. We do not go. We used to go to movies. We don't do that, of course, now. We occasionally go out visiting. We visit the, especially the relatives. And as far as trips are concerned, we occasionally will take a trip to another city, but not perhaps as far as Escanaba. And we visit Bill's sister in Rapid River. But as far as trips farther, we don't do that. I've only been on one trip, and that's to California once during that time to visit a daughter, and that's to visit Pat, and that's the only one that I've been on.
As you think about people that you're acquainted with who are your age, who may or may not have been married to a person involved in mining, are there any things other than the special handling of laundry or things like that that were peculiarities of being the wife of a miner that were different from other people's lives that you're aware of?
I think our life was probably the same any other person if they were working and they were employed, regardless of what they were doing. I think the role of the house, the wife, was probably very much the same in the beginning. We were homemakers, and then perhaps if there was a job change or a job lost, then the woman would go out and find work. But I think it was the roles were the same, taking care of a home, bringing up the children, and working around the husband's employment. It was the same.
I think we may have already talked about this a little bit, but if there was ever a strike or a layoff, how did you cope with that? How did you, you mentioned that you had started to work at one point. Were there any special things that you did to make ends meet or to do without or things like that?
During a strike, we always, one of the things we always planned on is we had to have money, of course, saved up. And it was odd to save money specifically for a period when there would be a strike, but we would, we were prepared, we tried to be prepared for that, always. And we would then live off savings. So this was the only, this is the way we always, sometimes the strikes were long, sometimes they were short, but we always seemed to make it through during those periods of time. Sometimes it was hard. And I think we did get some commodities at times. We were able to get that, but this didn't happen too frequently. But we always did seem to come through all right.
How about, especially during the time that the kids were growing up, is there anything in particular that you remember about good or bad medical or dental care, or good or bad benefits for covering medical or dental care? How was that paid for? How expensive was it? How accessible was it?
Medical care was not that expensive. I remember when Pat was born, I think I still have her hospital bill, and I think it's below $100. And then when Paul was born, it was probably a couple $100s because he was a C-section. But he wasn't, considering all the time I spent in the hospital, he wasn't that much. It's dental care, and we of course did not have dental insurance. But I considered that very important that we take care of their teeth. And so we bought them. It wasn't that, and you sort of saved for that too. And we always made sure that there was money ahead to take, make sure their teeth were taken care of. But the as far as going to the doctor, it was not, and even having a child was not that expensive. It wasn't, the cost did not start rising until we had medical insurance. That was one of the benefits that came with the, after the strike. And then, of course, the hospitalization took care of that. But that we continued to take care of the, dental work. And you just saved up for it. That's you had to provide for that. And then if they needed glasses, you had to save up for that, too. It was, I cannot remember ever having, these were things that we were expected. They were a part of having children, and you just did it. You provided for it. And I cannot remember ever being, having a hardship taking care of, the children would be in the hospital once in a while for either to have their tonsils out, and it was never, you could pay for it. I think we would take care of it, just go in, take care of it little by little, and that was accepted. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's one of the things I remember at the hospital. The doctors did not have their own offices. We would go to the emergency room. It was nothing unusual to have four doctors in the same emergency room at the same time and to be separated only by curtains from the other patients, from the other groups. And this is the way we saw the doctors. And the medical care, of course, the hospital at that time belonged to the company, belonged to CCI. And the doctors essentially, I guess, were, you could say they were employed by CCI. They also had, we paid our bills also. So that was that was a good thing about the company in the beginning of having, they had medical care for the people. So that was, and of course that then when insurance, medical insurance, and of course then things changed and continue to change to this day a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm at the point where I want to ask you if there's anything else that I should have asked you that I didn't, or given the things that you have seen and experienced in your lifetime, what wisdom could you offer to someone who might be raising a family now, or whose work situation might be different? What would you like to say to somebody that's younger?
I think one of the most important things, if you are raising a family, to plan your family. I think it's good to plan, do some family planning to begin with. Secondly, if you have children, I believe it's very important to send those children to college, or not just to college, but to, if you can't send them to college, to try and provide some vocational training of some type, either 1 year course or 2 year course. But if they want to go to college, to try and help them with college, I think education is very, very important. But I think it's important to have family planning also, to try and plan the number of children that you can possibly afford with the way things are changing in the country now, and with health insurance and with all the other changes, and then the inability of children to find work. I believe it's even with the college education and the training, it's going to be difficult for a lot of children to find work. But I think it's the most important thing there is, to have training of some sort. I think education is the most important thing. The days of girls finishing high school and being saying that, well, now you can get married and have a husband support you, those days are over with. I think it's very important for girls, especially girls, to be educated, to be able to take care of themselves if they have to take care of themselves. And I think education is more important than anything as far as raising a family is. But I think family planning is also important, to say that you should try and perhaps just raise the amount of children that you feel that you can afford, even if you want a large family, just to have what you can afford, and then give them a good education. As much as good an education as they want and as you can afford to give them. But I think it's an important part of parents providing the education, not to say that if the child gets through high school and they want to go to college, that child has to then go. It's important for them to work, but it's important for the parents also to help with the child's college education.